Hi there, welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dave Flora, a local artist and newly minted author. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Leanne.
Now, Dave, you got a new book coming out, and we're kicking off Lent this week down at Coffee Tree Books, March 9th at noon. Noon to 2 p.m., you can come down, you can meet the author, buy the book, of course, and we'll do a few little things down there at the bookshop to kick off Lent and to talk a little bit about your experience with this new book, Drawn from the Gospel.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful book. Dave brought us a copy to take a look at, and in the opening cover, you immediately see this beautiful, serene, manly face that I assume is God.
No.
No, this is not God.
Interestingly
enough, already wrong.
Yeah, depicting God has been an interesting challenge because God is a very large thing. And I didn't want to get into the habit of like, oh, look, Jesus is this white guy with brown hair and God is this old guy. So I had to construct symbols to talk about large concepts like salvation, like the Holy Spirit, like God. So what you're seeing with this man isn't so much the man as it is the flame on his forehead coming back. This is about Pentecost. This is about the Holy Spirit being present. So when you're talking about religion and you have to do it fast, you have to draw a picture fast in 20 to 30 minutes, you have to move in big, simple symbols to talk about important
ideas. Let's back up just a little bit because I want to talk about your process. This is art that you have created while listening to a sermon.
Yes.
So what inspired you to start drawing? I mean, most people think I have to go to church and I have to listen.
Yes.
Maybe not doing other things.
Right.
And not that there's anything. I knit in church. That's my thing.
There you go.
And it helps me listen. But for you, you're creating this art that is inspired by what you're hearing.
Right.
What gave you this idea in the first place?
Well, I've always been an artist. I've always, you know, drawn. I wanted to do when I was growing up. I wanted to draw comics. I've done illustration work for games and books and magazines and things like that. So being an artist is central to who I am. And I was raised as a Christian. I wandered for a while trying to figure out things, but I eventually decided to come back and give this Christianity thing a try. And I've been doing that for about 14 or 15 years now. So in the Bible, it said that we are created in the image of God. If you believe that, I think when I hear that God doesn't have blue eyes like I do, I think there is something about us, about each of us, that is closer to God than the rest of the world. And for me, it makes natural sense that that would be art. But I couldn't see myself doing, I'm just going to sit down and paint the Virgin Mary or Jesus on the cross. It didn't really resonate with me. So I went to our pastor at First Baptist Church at the time, Kurt Lowndes, and I said, Kurt, so I'm an artist and I'm a Christian. How the heck do those get to be in the same space? And he'd happened to look at an article about a guy who, during services, like you were saying when you were knitting, he doodles to kind of impress the ideas upon his mind of what's going on during the services. And he had published that, so he showed it to him. And he said, why don't you try drawing during church? And I can draw fast. That's part of the things you learn as an illustrator. So I thought, well, yeah, I'll give it a try. So I had my blue tackle box with all my art supplies and my trusty sketchbook, and I sat down and waited and listened. And by the end of the service, I had a complete piece of art. And I did it the next Sunday and the next Sunday and the next Sunday from 2015 on.
Okay, so we're coming on 4 years of artwork.
Yeah. So I've got volume one, and that collects a lot of my earlier work, but I already have enough to start working on volume two. Mm-hmm. So that's going to probably be a project that maybe I could get that done this year. That would be great. We'll see.
Goals.
Mm-hmm. Goals.
Now, this book, beautifully put together, and this is something that also has, it's not just pictures and things that he's drawn. There's also some writing in here. So tell me a little bit about what the words are about.
Okay, so I didn't think it would be fair to just drop the artwork out there without any kind of expression of what is going through my mind as I'm doing this. Because like I said, I have to create my own symbols to talk about concepts. So if I did a picture of God, which in drawn from the gospel currently is this circle of light with this sun kind of breaking through, that doesn't make any sense to other people. So I thought, well, let's tell them that this part really means God to me. Now, they don't have to see it that way. And that's one of the really cool parts when other people see the book, is they're like, you know I see what you say when you say this is God, but to me this means freedom, or to me this means power or glory or whatever. So it's cool to see how other people are interacting with the symbols, which is another way of interacting with the sermon, which is another way of worship. Mm-hmm. So it's really weird to be doing this different style of worship. For me, I love talking about it. And that's what the words are. I have the scripture there, and I have a short summary about what this scripture and symbol means to me. Mm-hmm. And what they take from it, they can.
And interpretation of art, obviously there's always a conversation about interpretation,
yes,
of art. And I'm just flipping through the book here in the studio just to take a look. This is fascinating. Tell me a little bit about this piece. There's there's an idol here.
Yeah. So we've got an idol of a cow listening to an iPod, and people's hands are around it. And there's that weird bit of the scripture where Moses goes up on the mountain, and while he's gone, I mean, like the minute he leaves, they're like, hey, let's make an idol of a God that we can actually see and worship. So the image shows this cow, because of course they made a calf, listening to an iPod, because that's kind of one of the idols that we circle ourselves around.
Mm-hmm.
And these people focusing on above that, and above that statue I have the symbol of my symbol of God.
Right.
Right? So you have this contrast between what people want to worship and this huge, amazing thing that they should be and we just don't see. So that's what that symbol is. It's the pull that we all have all of the time against the things that we should be doing and the things that we actually do.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is you say it's part of your worship experience, but also the book is,
yes,
is evangelism.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You say that as if it was not your intention at all.
No, not at all. It's a ministry, I suppose. I did it because, for me, it puts those two parts of my being into a single space. So that's why I started doing it. But it's so exciting to do. And I can share artwork with, when you have the common ground of the Bible, you can suddenly share these images, and it causes people to look at that particular scripture in a very different way. So when we all start talking about it, I get excited, they get excited, and it becomes something like a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not my intent. I never wanted any of this. I would, if left alone, I would be drawing apes driving cars. That's what I do, comic books and things like that. This thing is something I did not want, but have been prepared my entire life to do, which I hate because that says God to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, guess what? You're perfectly suited to do this thing that you don't really want to do and wasn't really interested in, and now it's yours.
Which is the whole point of God.
I think we
see that example happening throughout the Bible,
right,
in the stories.
All the prophets are like, come on, God, do I have to do this thing? I don't want to do this thing. I'm uncomfortable doing this thing. They try to get away. So this is my gift.
Mm-hmm.
Sigh.
Now we publish.
I love it.
It's beautiful. Now some of the images in here do have color, but the majority of this is very monochrome.
Yes.
Tell me about that choice.
Okay, so a lot of my artwork, particularly at the time, was line work. And I hated just the line work because it seemed very sparse. So I started using grayscale markers to kind of add depth to the pieces. And it's fast. So I started doing that, because it's what I was accustomed to in my illustration work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran across, I was giving a presentation to a bunch of grouchy old people. I don't remember who they were. But they said, you're drawing religious art, and there's no color. Doesn't it seem natural that there would be color if you're talking about this transcendent religious experience? And I'm like, yeah. Now, color does not come natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been a struggle. So I've started grabbing three colored pencils That's one of the things that's key to this. If you want to work fast, you have to use few tools and do as much with them as you can. So I get three colored pencils and see what I can do with those. And I have warm gray markers and cool gray markers, so I play with those. So as we go on, more and more color appears in the art, mm-hmm. which I like.
And that's you growing, and or well, maybe not growing, but at least expanding as an artist as well.
Definitely growing.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool experience. I mean, it's one thing when you're doing this kind of really responsive art as this worship service experience, but it's also changing me as I go because I'm using new tools, new technique, experimenting with things that I never would have done before mm-hmm. had I been doing the thing that I was accustomed to doing.
Now, what has this done to change your worship experience? Because you can't just create and not be changed by it or affected in some way.
Well, doing the artwork like this and particularly putting it out has made it a lot more public, which is when you're taking something that you're creating very intimately and you're sharing it with a bunch of people, it exposes you in a way that's kind of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole process of doing the work is very interesting because you're not just sitting there, you know, occasionally being moved by the music and things like that. You're very intently listening. What are the themes that are going on here? What symbols can I use to express these themes? How do I draw grace? What does that look like? How do I decide that? So all the time that this is going on with the scriptures, with the music, even sometimes with current events that have gone on, because those wind up being in church, those all color my thoughts and images that I choose to put down on paper. And sometimes I erase things, and sometimes I sit there thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what? There's nothing. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? But at the end of the service, there's a piece. It's done every time.
Do you feel that it helps you? Is it drawing you closer to God because you have this opportunity to interpret it, what's being said?
That's interesting. It really gets me more involved in the scripture, in mm-hmm. understanding the scripture, because I'm taking this story and I am internalizing it and expressing it with my own ideas. So I'm putting myself into the story in a way. So in that way, it really enhances. Now, when you're focusing on the big pictures and the big symbols, some of the smaller things that they say has a tendency to slip away. So that's the only drawback that I see, is that I see the big beats, mm-hmm. but I miss some of the details along the way.
What about the people in your congregation? You said before we got started that they'll come talk to you after.
Yeah. Well, very fortunately, I've been there 14 years, so they know I'm strange. And they like this sort of experience, one, because they're in a place where it's going on and it's cool and it's creative and it's artistic. Two, because the artwork will occasionally wind up in the programs so that people can see it. But now that more and more people know that I'm doing it, they will stop by after the service and say, "So Dave, what did you do this Sunday?" And I'll bring it out and show them, and they'll look at it and not know what the heck I'm talking about, which is one of the reasons I put words in the book.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause sometimes maybe for someone who isn't used to interpreting art, just seeing this picture, for example, is, you know, black and white and kind of a swirly light. And this, I assume, is what you were talking about earlier with that it's representational of God?
No.
The swirl and the light in the middle. No,
you would think it would be, but it certainly isn't. To me, this is an expression of, like, for me, this is the birth, the whole narrative of Jesus' birth. And for me, whenever I see this sort of thing, the dark is important to me. The shepherds out in the air is surrounded by the glory of God. What does that look like? What is that experience like? So this is me trying to depict this kind of wild, you're out in the dark and there's this amazing thing that's happening. That's what this image is trying to capture.
I should have looked at this book more closely before we got started.
So that's fine.
I'm 0-2 so far. But this is a wonderful illustration.
We're having a conversation about it.
Absolutely.
So that's great.
Well, that's the point of hanging out today, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Doug Chatham, host of the comedy music program Odd Numbers. Join me here on WMKY 90.3 FM at 9 p.m. this Friday and 4 p.m. this Saturday for a slate of oddball political songs like I Was a Teenage Republican by Wally Pleasant, Han Solo for President by The Faithful Sidekicks, and I Think My Dog's a Democrat by Brian Lewis. That's Odd Numbers at 9 p.m. Friday and 4 p.m. Saturday on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with artist and author Dave Flora. Thanks for being on the show.
Great to be here.
We're talking about your new book, Drawn from the Gospel, and you are having an event this weekend on Saturday down at Coffee Tree Books here locally where people can come in, see the book, meet the author, kind of talk about the experience. You have spent the last few years drawing while in worship service, while
yes.
at church, listening actively and creating these beautiful images for this volume one of your book, Drawn from the Gospel. I wanted to talk a little bit about how sketching in your book turned into a published work.
Right.
So what, did someone say, hey, why don't you publish this, or did you go, I'm going to publish this from the beginning? What was your, how did this come about?
Well, I've already like self-published a couple of comics and a couple of novels, so the idea of publishing was at least something that I've had experience with. So very early on, the idea, the title, Drawn from the Gospel, came to me, and I thought this would make a great collection of stuff. And it's really, I think that what's important to me about this is that I would have these pieces of artwork in my sketchbook and I'd take them home and just sit them on my shelf and nobody would get to see them or experience them. And they're really cool pieces of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So Drawn from the Gospel is my effort to actually get it out there, to publish it in some way where people can enjoy it and talk about it and share it. Hopefully be inspired to do something, to change their thinking about worship or how they might worship in church.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you have an online presence that mm-hmm. talks about this experience. Tell us about that.
So, yeah, when I started to get the book ready, I would simply get up early in the morning and work a half hour every morning putting a piece together, writing text for it. And then Tony Hobbs, who works here on campus, did the graphic design for it. God bless Tony Hobbs for doing that. She's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Shout out to Tony Hobbs. Love that girl.
And lots of editing. Lots and lots. I'd bounce it off people and they'd say, oh, you misspelled this. So you go back, you do it over and you do it over and you do it over. And then you fight with getting this in a format. Because it's not like a normal text novel. When you've got lots of pictures, it's more complicated to self-publish the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a struggle to get this out. But now that this is out, hopefully the next one will be a little easier to put out.
Now you understand the process better,
yes.
I guess.
And so then I put together a website, drawnfromthegospel.com, that has a blog where I blog about the book and other topics, other religious topics, and of course share news, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And I also talk about it on Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I think that's where I originally saw the idea. And of course, I'm down at Coffee Tree quite a bit because love their coffee.
They're great.
Yes. And so, in the books, of course, and someone had mentioned to me that this was happening, which I had already seen on Facebook, the event, mm-hmm. and I was like, yeah, I absolutely want to have him on the show, because it's not often that you have someone local who is publishing and creating and also doing this artistic endeavor while also doing a very spiritual endeavor, and rarely the two shall meet.
Yes. See, this is something, like I've done comics and books, but those have a very different kind of audience. I have a very popular group. I'm popular amongst a very a specific group of people online, but not so much where I am face-to-face. Some people know. This really outs me as an artist
mm-hmm.
to everybody, people I work with, people in the community. So it's kind of scary because I've been able to keep those lives separate.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's no way to live. That was the point of this whole thing. How do I put these different pieces together in the same space? Because that's wholeness. That's completeness. So I guess I'm just going to have to get accustomed to saying, oh, that's Dave. He works at Morehead State University, and he's an artist and an author.
Mm-hmm. I think that most of us who work at Morehead State have many different hats.
That is true. We're forced to have many different hats.
Yes. And occasionally we get really great opportunities to do some interesting things. Now, this book, I think, would appeal to a lot of a lot of different people. I mean, yes. This isn't just you will probably sell a copy to everybody you go to church with. Mm-hmm. But this is something that my 7-year-old could pick up,
yes,
and take a look at, and we could have some really great conversations about,
right,
it. And this is something that my mother would enjoy very much.
And you wouldn't necessarily have to even be terribly religious, mm-hmm, to enjoy the symbols that go on in there. You could come at this from an entirely different faith, and we could still have an interesting conversation about the symbolism that goes on.
I would imagine that people who are even the fans of yours that are like anti-religious,
uh-huh,
could have some really interesting conversations about this book.
Well, I gave a conversation. I gave a talk to one of Tony's classes, a Foundation of Art class, and it was a great conversation. It went on for 2 hours. I didn't expect them to be curious about this religious art at all because they're, you know,
they're college
students.
College students,
right? But they really were. And when I left, one of the students came up to Tony afterwards and said, I just don't get how you can be Christian and an artist. How do those fit together? Which is kind of weird, but honestly, I've been struggling with that my whole life. This is the place where they fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what's intriguing to artists, because they're like, hey, these two different parts of my personality can't actually exist in the same space and be complete, instead of, well, I have those friends over here for this, and I have those friends over there for that, and I have to be two different people when I'm around them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting experience.
Have you had any haters? I mean, has there been, I mean, always when you produce something, there's going to be some negativity, but I'm curious about the experience with that.
No, I'm waiting, because inevitably you will have somebody who either comes along and says, well, this is just baloney. This whole religious experience that you have is just baloney. You do cute artwork, but I don't buy it. Or the religious people will say, okay, I don't agree with your interpretation of what this means and your symbolism. I think it's actually leading people down the wrong path. To which I say to all of them, well, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to, I mean, as Protestants, we're supposed to read the Bible and decide what that means for us. And this is my expression of that struggle, of me working through these images. So, and I'm sure that it'll evolve and change as we go. The artwork certainly has.
And that's actually leads right into my next question. What is different? I mean, you created something this past Sunday that's maybe is totally different,
yeah,
than what's in the first book.
Yes.
So tell me how it's evolved for you as far as what you're drawing.
Well, as I said before, I add a lot more color. I'm much more sensitive to color in these, but also I've learned to pare down the ideas to get them even more simple. A simple idea is quicker to illustrate, but I think it also illustrates more clearly than a complex piece of art what you're trying to get at with a particular piece. So that's a real struggle, and it's just something that you learn through practice. It's something you grow into, and it's becoming a more natural thing to do. I don't think about it. It is so easy to just sit down there, to listen, and you start expressing on paper. By the end of the service, I close my book, I walk away with a piece of artwork. And that's amazing, and it only happens because I've been doing art for the past 40 years, 45 years. But it is amazing to me how simple and easy the experience is. The hardest part of this is putting it together and publishing it. Talking about it, doing the art, simple. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So this part was the struggle.
Yeah, getting it out there. Now, I have yet to, like I said, interacting with those people who don't like it, who disagree. That's going to be a new challenge. I haven't bumped into that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
But doing the artwork and talking about the artwork, I love it. It's so simple. And it has to be for me to do it. God knows me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give Dave something that I know he can just do without a lot of effort, because he's lazy and kind of stupid.
Well, it's a beautiful piece. I'm excited to
Thank
see
you.
The response to it. And for our listeners out there, if you want to take a look at this book, Drawn from the Gospel by Dave Flora. It'll be down at Coffee Tree Books this week. The event is Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. And you can go down, meet the author, take a look at the book, and get it signed if you'd like, and have a little chat about what all this means, this beautiful piece. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks for having me, Lana. It's a blast.
And that's all the time we have today. We'll see you on Friday.